to Luke 6. And I want to read several verses, 46 through 49. Luke 6, 46 through 49. And if you take notes, I've entitled the message, Divine Blueprints. Divine Blueprints. Thus saith the Lord. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Let's take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to open our heart to this text. Spirit of God, we come to you in thanksgiving that you are our teacher. I pray that you would speak directly to your people through me. I pray, God, that you would give us whatever it is we need, be it conviction, be it comfort, be it solace, whatever it is, Lord. Pray that you would give us that blessing, walk amongst us and open our minds and our hearts to Christ. And again, if there's one here today who knows not Christ, pray that today would be the day of their salvation. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Our text is a parable that Jesus used to demonstrate the importance of not just hearing his word, but obeying it. He makes this point in a simple way, a way that everybody could understand from when he spoke it to this very day. He used the example of building a house. More specifically, he's referring to a spiritual house, a refuge for this life that converts at death into an eternal home of joy and blessings forevermore. It's a refuge here in this world to help us deal with the storms of life, something we all have. And it's a place where we can find rest, we can find peace, and we can find comfort. To build a house, to begin with, to build a house that will last through this life and all eternity. God has given us a set of divine blueprints to use. But before we look at these blueprints, it's important for you to note that this parable is not for those who reject or refuse to hear God's word. If you refuse God's word or you reject God's word for any reason, these words won't make much sense to you. And unfortunately, I'm speaking to most of the world today. I have a proof verse for that, John 1, 10 and 11. It was true in Jesus' day, and it's true in our day. He said, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. This was God himself incarnate, who came into the world. Nobody wanted to hear him. They said, we will not have this man reign over us. And even his own people, Israel, rejected him. And it's sad to report that most of the world today still rejects Christ and still refuses to hear his word. We had a brother here who left the Bible in a public place, and he picked it up a couple, 3 days later. It was exactly where he laid it. They cleaned around it. It's because nobody wanted to touch it. And that's really a good example of how people do not want to hear about God. They shut their ears to the absolute truth of Scripture. They don't want to know anything about sin. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to think about death. They don't want to think about judgment, heaven, or hell. They don't want to think about any of that stuff. And they have no interest, absolutely no interest in the spiritual things of God. Romans 3, 11 and 12 testifies to that. It says, there is none that seeks God. There is none that does good. No, not one. And in 1 Corinthians 2, 14, Paul adds to that, The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, I want to tell you about this time. It's about 10:30. There's millions of people in churches. They're listening to the words that come from the Bible, and yet they don't discern them. And Romans 8:7 tells us why men may be interested in religiosity, but they're not interested in God. It says, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot." That means the lost are spiritually dead to God. So they don't have a set of divine blueprints for their life, for building a house here or for eternity. They can't build a house for their soul, which means, spiritually speaking, the lost are by day homeless, and by night they're shelterless. So when the trials of life roar into their lives like a train, they have nowhere to seek refuge. They take it head on. Trials, temptations, tribulations, when they overtake them, there's no place for them to go. There's no place for relief. Even if they cry out in pain, in the unbeliever's heart, they know God is not listening. For the lost, there are no divine blueprints and no comfort. Why? Because there's no hope. Where can any soul find genuine hope in this world without Christ? Where do you find hope? Can you find hope in your neighbor? Can you find hope in a strong man? Can you find hope in money? Can you find hope in power? There is no hope, and I'll tell you why, because all hope here is temporary. It just lasts a little while, and you're gone, and so is it. There's never been, in my view, I have never seen, and I live very close to a cemetery, I have never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. Does you no good, no matter what you have. Only Christ is the only hope in this world and the world to come. So, all the lost can do is they can cling to a broken heart and a bucket full of tears. That's it. A broken heart and a bucket full of tears. No shelter to protect them. They have to bear whatever's going on in their life, whatever torment and suffering they're doing. They do it alone. And when death, which is the most terrible storm of life, for the lost beats down on them, they have no place to hide. Why? Because they refuse to hear the absolute truth of God's word. And on judgment day, when the books are opened, they will have nothing to shelter them from God's wrath, absolutely nothing. Those who refuse to hear the gospel of Christ will stand naked, guilty, and condemned before their Creator. Only then will they listen to Jesus. They'll listen then as he pronounces their sentence. "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Matthew 25:41. Yes, beloved, hellfire and brimstone. That's what I'm talking about. And it's as real as rain. It's as real as heaven. For those lost souls who haven't accepted Christ as their Savior, that is, living for him. A lot of people profess Christ, but they don't live for Christ. I leave you with the warning of Hebrews 12:25. "See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for they do not escape who refused him who spoke on earth. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven." If you feel God opening your ears, if you feel God stirring your heart, if you feel that this life isn't all there is, that there is another life, if you feel that, then you call me or see me, and I'll show you in God's word how he's stirring your heart or even calling you into his kingdom. With that in mind, let's look at our text. To those who are hearers of the word, The parable teaches us that there are two types of hearers. Those who build using a divine spiritual blueprint and those who don't. And what's interesting about that is everyone who hears God's word builds some sort of spiritual habitation for their souls. I'm talking about the 21st Evangelical Church. And many go to great lengths in building their structures. Some will publicly confess Christ as Savior. They'll go out in the streets, they'll beat them with a Bible, they'll do this and they'll do that. And then when they're all done, they go back to their old life. They're not a new creature. They'll cry out to him, Lord, Lord, as they did in our text. He was talking about people who profess Christ when he said that. These professing Christians, they're always in church. They worship Christ in prayer, hymns, giving offerings. But the problem is, the major problem is, they do all of that. They throw money in the bucket, they sing, their hearts are on fire, they do all of that. But the problem is, they don't obey him. They don't obey the word, his word. They don't obey him. They hear and read his word, but they don't do what it says. It seems like it goes into their ears and never reaches their minds or their hearts. They hear it, but that's it. These are the people Jesus is speaking about when he asked, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? How many times have we seen people like that, where they'll profess Christ, they'll profess to go to church, they'll profess to do this and that, but when it comes to a simple thing like obedience, a simple thing like honoring God with your life, they can't do it. They don't have the power. They don't have the supernatural power. Not everybody can do that. It's not their fault. God hasn't called them to do that. They don't have the ability to do that. And because Christian hypocrites, and that's what Jesus calls them, they don't obey the Lord's word, they can't understand the divine blueprints. I don't know if you've ever seen a blueprint. I have. I couldn't understand it before. I never got it until somebody sat down and said, this is what it is. It's just a blueprint of something, a structure, something that's going to be made. It gives you the dimensions, where it's going to be, how it's going to be, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, that makes sense. The divine blueprint is exactly the same way. What our brother Tom read this morning talked about all those things that a believer is supposed to do. It's sort of like the Sermon on the Mount. Those are blueprints for life. Building a house here. Are we not called the temples of God? And do we not build our temple every day? Do we not have the opportunity to do that? Sure. And he gives us the spiritual blueprints to do it. So what these professing Christians do is they build their house with no blueprints at all. Our text declares they built a house on the earth without a foundation. He said, okay, this is a good place to live. I'm going to throw my junk over here. Let's just make a house on the sand. They build their walls with wood, hay, and stubble. Galatians 4:10 describes some of this building material. You observe days and months and seasons and years. They attach a roof to that house made of doctrines they invented, like men's traditions. Colossians 2:22, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. Just keep adding stuff in. Liberalism. That's another thing that the 21st Evangelical Church professing Christians use for building materials. I'm okay, you're okay. Doesn't matter what this says. It matters that you understand that God loves everybody. If you want to have an abortion, it's okay. Same-sex marriage is fine. Women pastors are great. Don't worry about it. That book was written for the first century people, not for us. Those are the blueprints they use. Humanism. Man is good. God is love. Everything is great. There's no sense of responsibility. There's no sense of sin. These are building materials and a host of others that professing Christians use because they don't use the divine blueprint. And how about the floors that they lay down? All that the floors those houses are made out of is dull religious habits. Special days, forbidding to eat certain foods, forbidding to marry, praying to the dead or on beads, dancing with snakes, drinking poison. These are just a few examples of the flooring that hypocrites, Christian hypocrites, use in building their house. They're not divine plants. None of that stuff comes from Scripture. The people use it. And because they don't use divine blueprints to build their house, our text teaches us that their dwelling will crumble right around their ears. It's going to fall. The text says, and the ruin of that house was great. It's sad that tares, in some translations calls it weeds, live so close to the gate of heaven and spend their lives living amongst God's children, only to be shut out of glory because of disobedience and unbelief. How terrible it will be to find out by experience that there's a back way to hell, even from the gates of heaven. But that's the bad news. If you're listening to that and you're a professing Christian and you don't have a divine blueprint, do something about it. Change. Call me. You see me. And I'll show you what the divine blueprint says, and perhaps God will be pleased to open your mind to it. And for those that do use the blueprint, who dig deep and lay the foundation on the rock, their houses are built using that divine blueprint. That's the secret. The foundation is always the secret. This is the foundation right here. This is the rock. This represents the rock. And let me be clear. The only spiritual foundation that meets the specifications of the divine blueprint is Jesus Christ. Nothing else. You can't build it on money. You can't build it on good works. That foundation, all of those foundations are like not having anything. They'll crumble and fall. They're not eternal. Jesus Christ is eternal. I got a proof verse for you. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus. He is the only eternal cornerstone that meets the divine blueprints of God. Nothing else will do it. He's the code. So if you're building a shelter for yourself without Christ, then you're building that in vain. Proof verse. Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. If you're building a house, a spiritual house for your soul, and you're doing it outside of Christ, it's not going to last. You may think it will, but it won't last. Our text teaches us the first thing the man did was what? He dug deep. He dug a hole. He dug down to the bedrock. When you dig a deep foundation, what do you have to do? You have to shovel out everything that keeps you from that bedrock. You got to get it out. So if you're building an eternal refuge for yourself, you have a lot of stuff to dig out. Starting with trusting in yourself instead of God. You got to get rid of that. The command is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You see, beloved, you cannot depend on the divine blueprint, which is Christ, and yourself. You can't do it. It's either him or it's you. The absolute truth is so absolute because there's no narrowness, there's no gray area. It's either him or you. Right or wrong. It's that simple. A lot of people don't like that because a lot of people are looking for wiggle room. But there is none in the absolute truth. Besides digging out and trusting in God, you have to dig out all the sin that's in your life for that foundation. You can't love sin and God at the same time. Proof verse, 1 Corinthians 10:21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of the demons. You can't do it. It's either God or sin. And as believers, we all sin. Our sins are forgiven, and we have the responsibility of repentance. But nobody's going to be perfect in this world. God knows that. And so he's given us a remedy. But whatever sin is in your heart, you have to dig it out. If Christ is going to be the foundation, you have to dig it out. What does the Bible say? If I regard iniquity in my life, he will not hear me. Sure, he hears you. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's sovereign, but he's not going to act on it. Then there's worldliness, pride, lust, fear, unbelief, unrighteous anger, and a host of other iniquities that need to be shoveled out of your life as well. You got to get rid of that stuff. Digging a foundation for your eternal refuge and doing that means you're going to have to go deep, beloved. You're going to have to dig deep. A lot of Christians live digging just a little bit. They're afraid to dig too deep. They're afraid to bring that shovel down. They're afraid to do it. And as a result of that, their foundation, although it's on Christ, their foundation doesn't have a lot of blessings in that house. You're going to have to get rid of all the debris that keeps you from building on that rock. All of it. After you do that, now you can lay your foundation on Christ. In the next part of our text, Jesus said, a man laid the foundation on the rock, which means he bound the foundation to the rock. You don't just take a foundation and just lay it on a rock, because then when something hits it, it's going to take it off. But what you have to do is you have to bind it to the rock. I hope one of you have a pail for my car. I left the windows open too. It'll dry. And the binding that we use to make the foundation a part of that rock, the binding we use is the absolute truth of God. There's no other binding that's eternal. There's no other binding that's strong enough to hold the house onto the rock except the absolute truth of God. Nothing else. Name something. Name something that's more powerful than a sovereign God. Nothing. And one of the bindings is the doctrine of love. It's one cord that binds that foundation to the rock. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God has loved his people before the worlds were formed. Ephesians 1:4 says that we were chosen in him before the worlds. So that means in all eternity past, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they were complete in being there, just them. They were complete in everything. But you and I were always on their mind because they knew Christ was coming. And they loved us enough. God the Father loved us enough to give him everything he had. Everything went into your salvation. Everything. His Son, his Word, his Kingdom, his Holy Spirit. Everything. Those are things that bind you to God. Bind you to that rock. Doctrines bind you. That's why doctrines are so important. That's why if you're in a church and that church isn't sound in their doctrine, it means that binding isn't sound. And it only takes a couple of bindings to make a house shaky. Doctrines have to always be strong, always dead on. Romans 5:8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Imagine that. We talked about that in a Bible study. Imagine having somebody, your enemy, who offends you. They're filth, they're foul. And you love them so much that you're willing to die for them. That's where we all were, and that's what he did. How about the doctrine of grace? That's another cord that binds us to the rock. Romans 5:20-21. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through the righteousness and eternal life through Christ our Lord. Grace abounds wherever sin is. That's a cord, that's an eternal cord that binds you and your spiritual house to the rock of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:6-7. to the praise and glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted and beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. He forgave all of your sins and the guilt. That's all gone. That's a bond. That's a cord that binds you to Christ, to that rock. That house is never going to shake. As long as that doctrine is sure in your mind and in your heart, and it doesn't matter what you do, if you believe that and you're living that, then that cord is never going to break. Never. And time prohibits me from talking about the doctrinal cords of providence, of sovereignty, of omniscience, of mercy, of salvation, holiness, righteousness, forgiveness, all of that stuff. But they're all cords. They're cords that bind you to Christ. And in that binding, nothing on earth can shake it. Nothing. Neither demons, the devil, nothing. I tell you, if all the demons that ever lived and all the fallen angels that ever lived and the devil himself were all banded together, they couldn't break one of those bonds. They couldn't do it because they're sovereign. Only these spiritual cords can keep your spiritual house bound to that foundation, that living rock. That's what he's called, the living rock, one of his names, Jesus Christ. Only by believing in these divine blueprints can a person know, and the word know is there, that their eternal house will never be shaken. You can know that. You might be shaken. You'll be in that house, and one day something will hit your house, and you go, whoa, I didn't see that coming. But Lord, I know you're here with me. You're my helper. Does not your word say, if God be for me, who can be against me? So whatever this problem is, Lord, I know I'm going to be able to work it out one way or the other because you're here to help me. That's a spiritual house. Now play the same picture with somebody who builds on sand. So when their house gets hit by something, it falls apart and they're standing out in the open and they got nothing but the problem looking at them, whatever it is. That's where we all were before God called us into his kingdom. Naked and afraid, with no hope, and without God in the world, Ephesians says. Never be shaken. With the foundation laid and secure, the hearer and doer of the word, you can take, if that's you, you can take eternal refuge. Not just now, but that house will go with you into eternity. Why? Because it's Christ. He's the rock. It's a metaphor. The foundation is Christ. It's a metaphor. It simply means that if Christ is your all in all, if you trust in him and you don't trust in yourself and you know that things are going to happen in your life, there are going to be good things and there's going to be bad things, but you know that Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. If you believe in God and you believe in Christ, then you believe that passage, so no matter what happens, you'll deal with it. And you'll deal with it with comfort in your heart. There's a passage in Hebrews 10, I think it's in verse 37, when the Christians that were going in the first church were going to visit those other Christians who'd been arrested, they turned around and they looked. And the writer to the Hebrews said, and you joyfully took the spoiling of your goods. They looked back and their houses were being ransacked by the Jews, taking everything they had, and they didn't care because they had a foundation. They were bound to the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And the only building material you need to build with divine blueprints is saving faith. Ephesians 2:8 tells us that is also a gift from God. For you are saved by grace, or by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, it's because God hasn't called you yet and given you the faith you need to believe that. Pray that he would do that. Pray that God would give you that faith to believe that. Ask people you know that are saved. Ask them to pray for you. Ask me to pray. Ask this church to pray for you. There's nothing in the world we want to do more than see God call more people into his kingdom. He wants you to have that foundation. You need the faith. And because faith in God's absolute truth, That is the power source that enables the doer of the word to build the house. If you don't have faith, you're building on sand. You're not building on a rock. He puts up walls of faith by believing God is his helper. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. Doesn't matter what's happening. Look at David, if you read the Bible. Look at David. Look at Job. Look at Paul. Look at all the things that happened to them. But they were held by the cords of doctrine to the rock of Christ, and they got through it all. And right now, right this very minute, they are enjoying more glory than they could ever have imagined. And they've been doing it for thousands of years. And one day, if you give your life to Christ, one day that happens to you as well. How about the roof that a believer has? An impenetrable roof. And you get that roof by claiming Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. There's no condemnation. You're not condemned anymore. The war is over with God. You have peace with God through Christ Jesus. He washed away your sins, and God the Father will accept you in his blood, period. That's it. No other way. And now those cords, those doctrines are yours. Now you can have the mind of Christ, Ephesians 2:16. For we have the mind of God. You'll have that mind. You'll have that strength. You'll have that faith. So when the rug of life gets pulled out from underneath you and you find yourself on your back looking up and all you see is dark clouds, know that on the other side of that cloud is your Savior Christ, and he'll get you through that storm. There's silverin, S-I-L-V-E-R-N is an old-time word. There's silverin throughout that whole cloud. And then the flooring that he uses in this spiritual house comes from Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who's against us? I don't care who comes against me. I don't care if anybody in the world could. I don't care if the devil does. I had the devil living in my garage, I thought, for about a week. And I fought with him every day. I did. I had no problem with that. Things were going so bad, I couldn't see anything. But I kept saying, Lord, you're my helper. And I'm going to get through this by you. I'm not going to do it on my own. I can't do it on my own. You're doing it or it ain't getting done. I tell him that every Sunday. When I leave here today, on the way home, I'm going to pray, Lord, another Sunday's coming up. And whether we sing hymns all Sunday through the worship service or we have a message, it depends on you, not on me. I'll show up. But you have to bring the message. That's depending on him for everything. It doesn't mean I don't go through my life, I don't make choices. It doesn't mean that I got a shackle on my neck and I can't make any choices. I make choices all day long. It simply means I have faith that all of those choices are going to glorify God and they're going to help me, even if I bleed. So you see, beloved, when you have a foundation that's built on a living rock, Jesus Christ, when you have that, nothing. Let me repeat that. Nothing in this universe can shake your world. Nothing will shake the rock of Christ. Trials, tribulations, temptations, grief, suffering, or anything else that happens in this world will not shake your house off that rock. He's not ever letting you go. The sovereign king makes the promise in our text, even death has lost its sting, and the grave has lost its victory. In closing, I would remind you, brothers and sisters, that building a spiritual house, it is a lifelong venture. It's not something you get saved and, okay, I'm building my house, I'm reading the word, I'm doing it. You're going to do it your whole life here. You're going to build the house every day. It's house building day. Every day you must pull out the divine blueprints of Scripture right here, and you add a little more to your house. Just add a little more. That being said, if you build even a small closet without those blueprints, your house will stand, but I'm here to tell you, it will decrease the value of your home. I found that out the hard way, and a realtor said if it's got a closet in it, and even if you tear a wall out from the kitchen to that bedroom, if there's a closet in it, It's a bedroom, even if you got a table in there. It decreases the value of your home if you build without the divine blueprint. When you go to your eternal home, and here's how that works. When you go to that eternal home and you trade that house for a crown of glory, what will God see? What will he see when he does a walk through your house? What will he see? Will he see the divine blueprint in every room? Or will he see it in just a few rooms? And I'm here to tell you this morning, it is absolutely for sure that God is going to do a walkthrough to see what type of work you've done. I have a Bible verse for that, Revelation 20:12. It testifies that in the first resurrection, he said, I saw the dead and great, small and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. How it's talking about your works, how you built your house. It's a walkthrough. I remember when I bought my house, the realtor says you need to do a walkthrough before we do the closing. Make sure everything is all right. That's what he's going to do. He's going to do a walkthrough. Revelation 20:12. So when he does a walkthrough in your house, again, I'm going to ask you, what will he find? I have to tell you this, beloved. Our parable this morning is a warning. It really is a warning to God's people and to the lost. A warning for his people that we are to build our lives around his word. And what I want you to do this morning is I want you to take this warning home, and I want you to use it as a positive incentive to throw away all the blueprints you have for your life and only use the divine blueprint. Only use the blood-bought divine blueprint God has so graciously given you to use. Doing that, if you do that, that will ensure that your house will be a sovereign refuge, a mighty fortress that will shelter you from all the storms of life. Let's pray. Father, we know that warnings are good. You give us a lot of them, but they have to be taken with the right attitude. And Lord, pray that you would give us here the right attitude to take this warning of this parable and to help us every day when we build into our spiritual house, help us every day to use only your divine blueprint. Don't let us take shortcuts, Lord. Remind us shortcuts don't work out. Don't let us even build a closet, a cabinet, or anything without using your word as the blueprint of our life. We ask it all in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen. Our closing hymn.